Her face goes stricken. Shit. Yeah, that about sums it up. I try to push the memories away, but they keep flashing through my mind, tightening my throat. Trust me, the pressure I put on myself is nothing compared to what I had to deal with growing up. She narrows her eyes. You told me you love hockey. I do love it. My voice goes hoarse. When I'm on the ice, it's the only time I feel alive, I guess. And believe me, I'm gonna work my ass off to get to where I wanna be. Fuck. I can't fail.
What happens if you do?
She counters.
What's your backup plan?
I frown. I don't have one.
Everyone needs a plan B, Hannah insists. What if you get injured and can't play anymore?
I don't know, I guess I'd be a coach, or maybe a sportscaster.
See, you do have a plan then.
I guess so. I eye her curiously. What's your plan B, if you don't make it as a singer?
Honestly, sometimes I don't know if I even want to be a singer. I mean, I love it, I really do. But doing it professionally is a whole other story. I'm not crazy about the idea of living out of a suitcase or spending all my time on a tour bus. And yeah, I like singing in front of an audience, but I'm not sure I want to be on stage in front of thousands of people on a nightly basis.
She shrugs, looking thoughtful.
Sometimes, I think I'd rather be a songwriter. I enjoy composing music, so I wouldn't mind working behind the scenes and letting someone else do the whole star thing. If that doesn't work out, I could go into teaching.
She gives a self-deprecating smile.
And if that fails, I could always try my hand at stripping.
I sweep my gaze up and down her body, making a big show out of licking my lips. Well, you've definitely got the tits for it. She rolls her eyes.
Pervert.
Hey, I'm just stating a fact. Your tits are great. I don't know why you don't flaunt them more. You know, throw a few low-cut tops into your wardrobe rotation. A pink blush blooms in her cheeks. I love how quickly she goes from serious and sassy to shy and innocent. By the way, you can't do that on Saturday, I inform her.
What, strip?
She says mockingly. No, blush like a tomato every time I make a lewd comment. Hannah arches one brow.
How many lewd comments do you plan on making?
I grin. Depends on how much I have to drink. She lets out an exasperated breath, and a strand of dark hair comes loose from her ponytail and falls onto her forehead. Without thinking, I reach out and tuck the errant strand behind her ear. The instantaneous tensing of her shoulders brings a frown to my lips. You can't do that either. Freeze up when I touch you. Alarm flits through her eyes.
Why would you touch me?
Because I'm supposed to be your date. Have you met me? I'm a handsy guy.
Well, you can keep your hands to yourself on Saturday, she says primly.
Good plan. And then Loverboy will think we're just friends, or enemies, depending on how jumpy you get. She bites her lip, and her visible agitation only makes me tease her harder. Oh, and I might kiss you too. Now she glares at me.
No way.
Do you or do you not want Cole to think you're into me? Because if you do, you'll need to at least try to act like it.
That's going to be tough,
she says with a smirk. Bullshit. You like me lots. She snorts. I'm totally digging that snorting thing you do, I tell her frankly. It's kind of a turn-on.
Would you quit it? She grumbles. He's not in the room right now. You can save the flirting for Saturday.
I'm trying to get you used to it. I pause as if I'm mulling something over, but really, I'm getting a huge kick out of making Hannah squirm. Actually, the more I think about it, the more I'm wondering if we should warm up.
Warm up? What the hell does that mean?
I slant my head.
What do you think I do before a game, Wellesley? Just show up at the rink and throw my skates on? Of course not. I practice 6 days a week to get ready. Ice time, weight room, watching game tape, strategy meetings. Think of all the advance prep that goes into it.
This isn't a game, she says irritably. It's a fake date.
But it needs to look real for Loverboy.
Would you stop calling him that?
Nope, I have no plans to stop. I like how angry it makes her. In fact, I like pissing her off, period. Every time Hannah gets mad, her green eyes blaze and her cheeks turn the cutest shade of pink. So, yeah, I say with a nod. If I'm going to be touching and kissing you on Saturday, I think it's imperative that we rehearse. I lick my lips again, thoroughly.
I honestly can't decide if you're messing with me right now.
She blows out an annoyed breath.
Either way, I'm not letting you touch or kiss me, so wipe all those dirty ideas out of your head. If you want some action, call Tiffany.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. There's a bite to Hannah's tone.
Why not? You seemed pretty into her last night.
It was a one-time hookup, and stop trying to change the subject. I grin at her. Why don't you want to kiss me? I narrow my eyes. Oh, shit. There's only one explanation I can think of. I pause. You're a bad kisser. Her jaw drops in outrage.
I most certainly am not.
Yeah? I lower my voice to a seductive pitch. Prove it.
Chapter 16. Hannah. Somehow I've traveled back in time to my third grade playground days, unless there's another explanation for why Garrett is goading me into kissing him. I don't have to prove a damn thing, I inform him. I happen to be a fantastic kisser. Sadly, you will never get to find out.
Never say never,
he answers in a sing-song voice. Thanks for that, Justin Bieber, but yeah, not gonna happen, dude. He sighs.
I get it. You're intimidated by my potent masculinity. Chin up. It happens all the time. Oh, brother.
I can still remember the days, all of a week ago, when Garrett Graham wasn't a fixture in my life, when I didn't have to listen to his cocky remarks or see his rogue grins or get drawn into a flirt battle I have no interest in. Except, Garrett happens to be very, very good at one particular thing, throwing down the gauntlet.
Fear is a fact of life, he says solemnly. Don't let it get you down, Wellesley. Everyone experiences it.
He leans back on his elbows like a big shot.
Tell you what, I'll give you a free pass. If you're too scared to kiss me, I won't make you.
Scared? I rumble. I'm not scared, dumbass. I just don't want to. Another sigh rolls out of his chest.
Then I guess we're back to self-confidence issues. Don't worry. There are a lot of bad kissers in this world, sweetheart. I'm sure with practice and perseverance, you'll one day be able to...
Fine, I interrupt. Let's do it.
His mouth slams shut, eyes widening in surprise.
Huh. So, he didn't expect me to call his bluff.
Our gazes lock in a stare down for the ages.
He's waiting for me to back down, but I'm confident I can wait him out. Maybe it's childish of me, but Garrett has already gotten his way about this tutoring thing. This time I want to win. But I've underestimated him yet again. His gray eyes darken to smoky metallic silver, and suddenly there's heat in his gaze. Heat and a gleam of self-assurance, as if he's certain I won't go through with it. I hear that certainty in the dismissive tone he uses when he finally speaks.
All right, show me what you've got then.
I falter. Fucking hell, he can't be serious. and I can't actually be considering meeting this inane challenge. I'm not attracted to Garrett, and I don't want to kiss him. End of story. Except, well, it doesn't feel like the end of anything. My body is engulfed with flames, and my hands are trembling, not from nerves, but anticipation. When I picture his mouth pressed against mine, my heart races faster than a drum and bass track. What the hell is the matter with me? Garrett inches closer. Our thighs are touching now, and either I'm hallucinating it or I can actually see his pulse throbbing in the center of his throat. He can't possibly want this, can he? My palms grow damp, but I resist wiping them on the front of my leggings because I don't want him to know how unnerved I am. I'm wholly aware of the heat radiating from his jean-clad thigh, the faint scent of his woodsy aftershave, the slight curve of his mouth as he awaits my next move.
Come on, he mocks. We don't have all night, baby.
Now I'm bristling. Screw it. It's just a kiss, right? I don't even have to like it. Shutting that smart mouth of his will be reward enough. Arching a brow, I reach up and touch his cheek. His breath hitches. I sweep my thumb over his jaw, stalling, waiting to see if he'll stop me. And when he doesn't, I slowly bring my mouth to his. The second our lips meet, the strangest thing happens. Pulsing waves of heat unfurl inside me, starting at my mouth and then rippling down my body, tingling in the tips of my breasts before traveling even lower. He tastes like the peppermint gum he's been chewing all night, and the minty flavor suffuses my taste buds. My lips part of their own volition, and Garrett takes full advantage by sliding his tongue inside. When my tongue tangles with his, he makes a low, growling noise in the back of his throat, and the erotic sound vibrates through my body. Immediately, I'm hit with a jolt of panic that spurs me to break the kiss. I suck in a shaky breath. There, how was that? I'm trying to sound unaffected by what just happened, but the slight wobble in my voice betrays me. Garrett's eyes are molten.
Not sure. It wasn't long enough for me to properly judge. I'm gonna need more to go on.
His big hand cups my cheek. This should be my cue to leave. Instead, I lean in for another kiss. And it's just as eerily incredible as the first. As his tongue slicks over mine, I stroke his cheek and God, that's a big mistake. Because the scratchy feel of his stubble on my palm intensifies the pleasure already wreaking havoc on my body. His face is strong and masculine and sexy, and the sheer maleness of him triggers another burst of need. I need more. I didn't expect to, but damn it, I need more. With an anguished moan, I angle my head to deepen the kiss, and my tongue eagerly explores his mouth. No. Not eagerly, hungrily. I'm hungry for him. Garrett threads his fingers through my hair and tugs me closer, one powerful arm curling around my hip to keep me in place. My breasts are now crushed against his rock-hard chest, and I can feel the wild hammering of his heart. His excitement matches my own. The raw, husky groan he releases tickles my lips and sends my pulse careening. Something's happening to me. I can't stop kissing him. He's too addictive. And even though this might have started with me somewhat in charge, I'm no longer in control. Garrett's mouth moves over mine with skill and confidence that steals the breath from my lungs. When he nibbles on my bottom lip, I feel an answering tug in my nipples and press one palm to his chest to ground myself, to try to keep from floating away in a mindless cloud of pleasure. His hot lips leave mine and travel along my jawline, dipping down to my neck, where he plants open-mouthed kisses that leave shivers in their wake. I hear a tortured whimper, and I'm startled to realize it came from me.
I'm desperate to feel his mouth on mine again. I thrust one hand in his hair to bring him back to where I want him, but the dark strands are too short to grab onto. All I can do is pull his head forward, which summons a low chuckle from him.
"Is this what you want?"
he rasps, and then his lips find mine, and he thrusts that talented tongue into my mouth again. A moan leaves my throat at the exact moment the bedroom door swings open.
"Hey, G, I need to borrow a..."
Dean grinds to a halt. With a squeak of horror, I tear my mouth away from Garrett's and shoot to my feet.
"Oops, didn't mean to interrupt."
Dean's grin takes up his entire face, and his twinkling green eyes make my cheeks scorch. I snap back to reality faster than you can say biggest mistake ever. Holy shit. I've just been caught making out with Garrett Graham, and I was enjoying it.
"You're not interrupting," I blurt out.
Dean looks like he's fighting back laughter.
"No? Because it sure seems like it."
Despite the tight knot of embarrassment lodged in my throat, I force myself to glance at Garrett, silently pleading for backup, but his expression catches me off guard. Deep intensity and a flash of annoyance, but the latter is directed at Dean, and thrown into the mix is something akin to fascination, as if he can't believe what he and I just did. I can't believe it either.
"So this is what you two do when you're up here,"
Dean drawls.
"All that deep, intensive tutoring."
He air quotes the last word, chuckling in delight. His teasing irks me. I don't want him thinking that Garrett and I are involved, that we've been fooling around for the past week behind everyone's backs. Which means I have to nip his suspicions in the bud, ASAP. "Actually, Garrett's just helping me brush up on my makeout skills," I tell Dean in the most casual voice I can muster. At this point, telling the truth is far less humiliating than letting his imagination run wild, but the confession sounds insane when I utter it out loud. "Yep, just honing my kissing skills with the captain of the hockey team, no biggie." Dean snickers.
"That's so?"
"Yes," I say firmly. "I have a date coming up and your friend here thinks I don't have any moves." Trust me, we're not into each other. At all. I realize that Garrett still hasn't said a single word, and I turn to him for confirmation. "Right, Garrett?" I ask pointedly. He clears his throat, but his voice is still gravelly as hell when he speaks.
"Right." "Okay."
Dean's eyes gleam.
"Then I'm calling your bluff, baby doll. Show me your moves."
I blink in surprise. "What?"
"If a doctor told you you've got 10 days to live, you'd go for a second opinion, wouldn't you? Well, if you're worried about being a crappy kisser, you can't just take G's word for it. You need a second opinion."
His brows lift in challenge.
"Let me see what you've got." "Stop being a jackass," Garrett mutters.
"No, he has a point," I answer awkwardly, and my brain screams, "What? He has a point?" Apparently, Garrett's body-melting kisses have turned me into a crazy person. I'm shaken up and confused, and most of all, I'm worried. Worried that Garrett will know I... what? That I'd never been so turned on from a kiss before? That I loved every second of it? Yes, and yes. That's precisely what I don't want him to know. So I saunter over to Dean and say, "Give me a second opinion." He seems startled for a second before breaking out in another grin. He rubs his hands together, then cracks his knuckles as if he's preparing for a fight, and the ridiculous gesture makes me laugh. When I reach him, his bravado falters.
"I was just kidding, Wellesley. You don't have to..."
I cut him off by leaning on my tiptoes and pressing my mouth to his. "Yep, that's me, just another college co-ed kissing one guy after the other." This time, there's no heat, no tingles, no sense of overpowering desperation. Kissing Dean is nothing compared to the way it felt kissing Garrett.
but Dean seems to enjoy it, because he lets out a groan when I part my lips. His tongue enters my mouth and I let it, only for a few seconds, and then I step back and put on my most nonchalant face. "Well?" I prompt. His eyes are completely glazed over. He clears his throat.
Yeah. I don't think you have anything to worry about.
He looks so stunned that I can't help but smile. But my humor dissolves when I turn to see Garrett rising from the bed, his chiseled face darker than a thundercloud.
"Hannah,"
he starts roughly. But I can't listen to the rest. I don't want to think about that kiss anymore, or ever. The mere memory of it makes my head spin and my heart pound. "Good luck on the makeup tomorrow." The words rush out in a fast stream of nervousness. "I've got to take off now, but let me know how it goes, okay?" Then I quickly gather up my things and hurry out of the room. Chapter 17, Hannah. "You lost a bet," Allie says dubiously.
"Yep." I sit at the edge of the bed and lean over to zip up my left boot, deliberately avoiding my roommate's gaze.
"And now you're going out with him?"
"Uh-huh."
I rub my thumb over the side of the boot and pretend I'm wiping away a smudge on the leather.
"You're going out with Garrett Graham?"
"Mm-hmm."
"I call shenanigans." "Of course she does. A date with Garrett Graham? I might as well have announced I'm marrying Chris Hemsworth." So no, I don't blame Allie for looking so flabbergasted. The "I lost a bet" excuse was the best one I'd been able to come up with, and it's feeble at best. Now I'm wondering if I should just fess up and tell her about Justin. Or better yet, if I should cancel the date altogether. I haven't seen Garrett since the big mistake, as I'm now referring to the kiss. He texted me yesterday after he wrote the makeup exam. 4 measly words, 2 of which aren't even real.
"Easy peasy lemon squeezy."
I won't lie. I was thrilled to hear it had gone well, but not thrilled enough to initiate an actual conversation, so I simply sent back one word, "nice." And that was the only contact we had up until 20 minutes ago when he messaged to say he was on his way to pick me up for the party. As far as I'm concerned, the kiss didn't happen. Our lips didn't touch, and my body didn't ache. He didn't groan when my tongue filled his mouth, and I didn't whimper when his lips latched onto that sensitive spot on my neck. It didn't happen. But, well, if it didn't happen, then there's no reason for me to bail on the party now, is there? Because no matter how confused and stricken the big mistake had left me, I'm still eager for a chance to see Justin outside of class. I can't bring myself to tell Allie the truth, though. I'm usually so confident in other areas of my life. Singing, schoolwork, friends. When it comes to relationships, I revert back to that traumatized 15-year-old who required 3 years of therapy before she was able to feel normal again. I know Allie would disapprove if she knew I was using Garrett to get to Justin, and right now, I'm not in the mood to be lectured. "Trust me, shenanigans are Garrett's middle name," I say dryly. "The guy treats life like a game. And you, Hannah Wells, are playing along?" She shakes her head, incredulous. "Are you sure you don't have a thing for this guy?" "Garrett? No way," I say immediately. "Uh-huh. Because you always make out with guys you don't like." I banish the internal taunt. "Nope, I didn't make out with Garrett. I was simply meeting a challenge." The mocking voice rears its head again. "And you felt absolutely nothing, right?" Arg, why isn't there an off switch for that sarcastic part of your brain? Except I know that doing that won't erase the truth. I did feel something when we kissed. Those tingles that Justin evokes in me, I felt them the other night with Garrett. They were different, though. The butterflies didn't just float around in my belly. They took flight and raced through my entire body, making every inch of me pulse with pleasure. But it meant nothing. In the span of 10 days, Garrett went from being a stranger to a nuisance to a friend, but that's as far as I'm willing to take it. I don't want to date him, no matter how good a kisser he is. Before Allie can grill me further, Garrett texts to inform me he's here. I'm about to tell him to wait in the car, but I guess we have different definitions of here because a loud knock sounds on the door a second later. I sigh. That's Garrett. Can you let him in? I just want to put my hair up. Allie grins and disappears. As I run a brush through my hair, I hear voices in the living area, followed by a squeaky protest and then heavy footsteps heading to my bedroom. Garrett appears in the doorway, wearing dark blue jeans and a black sweater, and something terrible happens. My heart turns into a dolphin and does a stupid little flip of excitement. Excitement, for fuck's sake. God, that mistake really messed with my head. He scrutinizes my clothes before raising one eyebrow.
Is that what you're wearing?
Yes, I bristle. Got a problem with that? He tilts his head to the side like he's Tim fucking Gunn judging an outfit on Project Runway.
I'm totally digging the jeans and boots, but the shirt has gotta go.
I examine my loose blue and white striped sweater, but I honestly don't see the issue. What's wrong with it?
It's too baggy. I thought we talked about how you need to show off your stripper tits.
A strangled cough comes from behind him.
Stripper tits?
Allie echoes as she steps into the room. Ignore him, I tell her. He's a chauvinist.
No, I'm a guy.
He corrects, then proceeds to flash his trademark grin.
I want to see some cleavage.
I like this sweater, I protest.
Garrett glances at Allie. Hi, I'm Garrett. What's your name again?
Allie, Hannah's roommate and BFF.
Great. Well, can you tell your roomie and BFF that she looks like a reject from a sailing show?
She laughs, and then to my horror, Benedict Arnold, she agrees with him. It wouldn't hurt to wear something more form-fitting, she says tactfully. I scowl at her. Garrett beams.
See? We're all in agreement. Go big or go home, Wellesley.
Allie looks from me to Garrett, and I know exactly what she's thinking. But she's wrong. We're not into each other, and we're certainly not dating. But I suppose it's better she think that than know I'm going out with him to impress someone else. Garrett strides to my closet like he owns it. When he pokes his dark head inside, Allie shoots me a grin. She seems highly entertained by all this. He flips through the hangers to examine my wardrobe, then pulls out a sheer black top.
How about this?
No way, it's see-through.
Then why do you own it?
Good question. He holds up another hanger, this time a red sweater with a gaping V-neck.
This one, he says with a nod. You look great in red.
Allie's eyebrows hit the ceiling, and I curse Garrett for putting all these unnecessary ideas in her head. But at the same time, my chest goes warm and gooey because he thinks I look great in red, as in he's actually noticed what I've worn in the past. Garrett tosses me the shirt.
Okay, get changed. We want to be fashionably late, not asshole late.
Allie snickers. I glare at them both. Can I please have some privacy? They're either oblivious to my annoyance or they're choosing to ignore it because I hear them chatting easily in the living room. I suspect Allie is grilling him about our date, and I hope to God that Garrett sticks to the bet story. When his husky laughter floats into my bedroom, an involuntary shiver skitters up my spine. What is happening to me? I'm losing sight of what I want. No, of who I want. Justin. Justin frickin' Cole. I shouldn't be kissing Garrett, or Dean for that matter,
and getting distracted by the strange rush of heat he unleashes inside me. It's time to get my head on straight and remember why I agreed to this charade in the first place. Starting right now.
Garrett. Beau Maxwell lives off campus with four of his teammates. Their house is only a few blocks from mine, but a hell of a lot bigger, and it's packed like a hockey arena on game night when Hannah and I walk inside. Deafening hip-hop blasts from the speaker system, and several warm, sweaty bodies jostle us as we venture deeper into the house. All I can smell is alcohol, sweat, and cologne. I pat myself on the back for convincing Hannah to wear that red top, because holy fucking hell, it looks amazing on her. The material is so thin, it outlines every sweet curve of her chest, and that neckline, sweet Jesus. Her tits are practically pouring out of it, like they're trying to pop out and say hello. I don't know if she's wearing a push-up bra or if her breasts are really that big, but either way, they're bouncing like crazy with every step she takes. Several people wander over to say hello to me, and there's a shit ton of curious stares in Hannah's direction. She fidgets at my side, clearly feeling out of place. My chest goes softer than butter when I glimpse the deer in the headlights look in her eyes. I reach for her hand, which prompts her gaze to fly up to mine in surprise. Bringing my lips close to her ear, I murmur, "Relax." Leaning in is a big mistake, because she smells fantastic. That sweet, familiar cherry fragrance mingles with a faint hint of lavender and something uniquely feminine. It takes a serious amount of willpower not to press my nose into her neck and inhale her, or taste her with my tongue. Lick and kiss the hot flesh of her throat until she moans. Oh man, I'm in big trouble. I haven't been able to stop thinking about that kiss. Every time the memory floats into my head, my pulse races and my balls tighten, and all I want to do is kiss the crap out of her again. The overpowering lust, however, is accompanied by a sense of crushing rejection, because clearly I was the only one affected by that damn kiss. If Hannah had felt something, even in the slightest, she wouldn't have stuck her tongue down Dean's throat 2 seconds later. Dean, one of my best friends. But she's not here with Dean tonight now, is she? Nope, she's my date, and we're here to make another guy jealous. Why can't I give in to temptation? This might be the only chance I get. So I plant a soft kiss on the side of her throat before whispering, "You're gonna be the center of attention tonight, babe. Smile and pretend you're enjoying it." I steal another kiss, this time on the corner of her jaw, and she sucks in a breath. Her eyes widen, and either I'm imagining it, or there's a glimmer of heat there. Before I can interpret what I'm seeing, one of the linebackers interrupts us.
"Graham, yo, good to see you, man."
Ollie Jankowicz lumbers over and slaps my back, and the contact jars my entire body because the dude is monster-sized. "Hey, Ollie," I say before nodding at Hannah. "Do you know Hannah?" He wears a blank look for a second. Then his eyes dip to her chest and a slow smile stretches across his bearded face.
"I do now."
He sticks out one meaty paw.
"Hey, I'm Oliver."
She awkwardly shakes his hand.
"Hi, it's nice to meet you."
"Got anything to drink in this place?" I ask Ollie.
"Kegs are in the kitchen. Lots of other party favors floating around, too."
"Nice. Thanks, man. I'll catch up with you in a bit." I lace my fingers through Hannah's and lead her to the kitchen, which is packed with drunken frat brothers. I haven't spotted Beau yet, but I know we'll run into him eventually. I'm not too thrilled at the prospect of seeing Cole, though. I grab two plastic cups from the stack on the granite counter and make my way to one of the kegs. The frat boys protest, but when they notice who's pushing them aside, they part from me like the red fucking sea. Just another perk of being the captain of Briar's revered hockey team. I pour two beers, then duck away from the crowd and hold a cup out to Hannah, who adamantly shakes her head. "It's a party, Wellesley. Won't kill you to have one measly beer."
"No,"
she says firmly. I shrug and take a sip of the watery alcohol. The beer is cheap as fuck, but that's probably a good thing. Means there's no chance of me getting wasted off this shit,
Not unless I drink a whole keg to myself. As the kitchen empties out, Hannah leans against the counter and sighs.
I hate parties, she says glumly.
Maybe that's because you refuse to drink, I tease.
Go ahead and bring on the prude jokes, I don't mind.
I know you're not a prude, I wag my eyebrows. A prude doesn't kiss the way you do. Her cheeks redden.
What the hell does that mean?
It means you've got a sexy tongue and you know how to use it. Ah, shit. Wrong thing to say, because now I'm hard. Luckily, my jeans are tight enough to keep my erection from tenting like an asshole.
Sometimes I think you say things just to make me blush, Hannah accuses.
Nope, I'm just being honest. A swell of voices wafts past the kitchen, and I find myself praying that nobody walks in. I like being alone with Hannah. And even though there's no reason to put on a show when we're alone, I still move closer and sling one arm around her shoulder as I take another sip of water beer. In all seriousness, why are you so anti-drinking? I ask gruffly.
I'm not anti-drinking.
She pauses.
I actually kind of like it, in moderation, of course.
Of course, I echo, rolling my eyes before reaching for the second cup I left on the counter. Would you have a beer already?
No.
I have to laugh. You just said you liked it.
I don't mind drinking in my room with Allie, but I never do it at parties.
Oh, geez. So you sit at home like a wino when you drink?
No.
She looks exasperated.
Just drop it, will you?
Do I ever drop anything? Her exasperation turns to defeat.
Look, I get paranoid about what might be in my cup, all right?
Insult prickles my skin. For fuck's sake, you think I'd roofie you?
No, of course not.
Her swift response eases my concerns, but when she adds,
not you anyway,
it triggers my suspicion. I frown deeply. Did that happen to you? Hannah's face goes stricken for a beat, and then she slowly shakes her head.
It happened to a friend of mine in high school. She was drugged.
My jaw falls open. Seriously? She nods.
Someone slipped her GHB at a party and, let's just say it wasn't a good night for her, okay?
Oh, shit. That's all kinds of fucked up. Was she okay? Hannah looks sad.
Yeah, she was fine.
She gives an awkward shrug.
But it made me distrustful about drinking in public, even if I poured the drink myself. Who knows what will happen if I turn away, even for a second. I refuse to take that chance.
My voice thickens. You know I'd never let that happen to you, right?
Yeah, sure, I do.
But she doesn't sound fully convinced, and I can't bring myself to be offended about it because I suspect her friend's experience really screwed with Hannah's head, and with good reason. I've heard horror stories like that before. As far as I know, it hasn't happened at Briar, but I know it goes on at other colleges. Girls unwittingly ingesting E or Rohypnol or getting shit-faced out of their minds while immoral creeps take advantage of them in that state. I honestly don't understand guys who would do that to a woman. As far as I'm concerned, they should all be behind bars. But now that I know the reason behind her no-drinking rule, I quit bugging Hannah about having a beer, and we head back to the main room. Hannah's eyes scan the crowd, and I instantly stiffen, because I know she's looking for Cole. Fortunately, he's nowhere to be seen. We mingle for a while. Every time I introduce her to someone, they look surprised, as if they can't understand why I'm with her and not some ditzy sorority girl. And more than one guy ogles Hannah's breast before winking at me as if to say, good job. I officially take back my earlier claim. I wish I hadn't convinced her to wear that top. For some reason, the appreciative stares she's receiving really piss me off. But I swallow the possessive caveman urges and try to enjoy the party. The crowd is more football than hockey, but I still know almost everyone there, which causes Hannah to mutter, Geez, how do you know all these people?
I smirk at her. I told you, I'm popular. Hey, there's Bo. Come on, let's go over and say hi. Bo Maxwell is the typical college quarterback. He's got it all. The looks, the swagger, and most important, the talent. But although anyone else in his position might think it's their right to be a total douchebag, Bo's actually kind of decent. He's a history major like me, and he looks genuinely happy to see me tonight.
Gee, you made it. Here, try this.
He holds out a bottle of something. The bottle is black and has no label, so I have no clue what he's offering.
What is it?
I ask with a grin. Bo grins back.
Moonshine, courtesy of Big Joe's sister. This shit is potent.
Yeah? Then get it the hell away from me. I've got a game tomorrow afternoon. Can't show up with a moonshine hangover.
Fair enough.
He bats his baby blues at Hannah.
You want some, honey?
No, thanks.
Bo, Hannah, Hannah, Bo, I introduce.
Why do you look so familiar?
Bo demands, looking her up and down.
Where do I know you from? Oh, shit, I know. I saw you sing in the spring showcase last year.
Really? You were there?
Hannah sounds simultaneously surprised and pleased, and I wonder if maybe I've been living on a different planet or some shit, because how am I the only one who doesn't know about these showcases?
Damn straight I was there,
Bo declares.
And you were awesome. You sang, what was it again? Stand By Me, I think?
She nods. I wrinkle my forehead as I glance at her.
I thought you were only allowed to sing originals.
That's a senior level requirement, she explains. Freshmen and sophomores can sing whatever they want because they're not in the running for the scholarships.
Yeah, my sister had to sing an original,
Bo tells us.
She was in the senior group. Joanna Maxwell, do you know her?
Hannah gasps.
Joanna's your sister? I heard she landed a part on Broadway this summer.
She did. Bo beams with pride. My big sis is a Broadway star. How about that?
We're drawing even more stares now that we're chatting with a birthday boy, but Hannah seems oblivious to it. I, on the other hand, am annoyingly aware of the attention from one person in particular.
Cole has just entered the living room, and his lips pinch when our gazes meet.
I nod in hello, then turn my head and very deliberately plant a kiss on Hannah's cheek. Her head jerks up in surprise, so I justify the random gesture by saying, I'll be right back, going to grab another beer.
Okay.
She instantly turns back to Bo and they continue chatting about his sister. I'm not sensing any romantic interest on her part, though, which brings an odd pang of relief. The real threat is across the room, and he marches purposefully in our direction the second I step away from Hannah and Bo. I intercept Justin before he can reach the chatting duo, giving him a casual slap on the arm.
Cole, great party, huh?
His nod is absent-minded, his gaze still focused beyond my shoulder at Hannah. Fuck. Can he actually be interested in her? I figured this big charade of ours wouldn't result in anything I needed to worry about, but evidently my plan is working too well. Cole only has eyes for Hannah, and I don't like it, not one bit. I glance at his empty hands and grin. Come on, let's get you a drink.
Nah, I'm good.
He's already brushing past me, heading right where I don't want him to go. The moment Hannah notices Justin, her cheeks turn pink, and a startled look crosses her eyes, but she recovers quickly and greets him with a hesitant smile.
Oh, hell no.
My back snaps straighter than a hockey stick. I want to stalk over there and yank her away from Cole, or better yet, yank her right into my arms and kiss the living daylights out of her. I do neither. Because this time, I'm the one being intercepted. Kendall appears in my path, her long blonde hair braided over one shoulder, the tail end of it dangling in her cleavage. She's dressed to the nines in a teeny red dress and impossibly high heels, but her expression is stormy as fuck.
Hi,
she says tightly. Hey, I clear my throat. How's it going?
Her lips flatten in displeasure.
Seriously, you're on a date, and that's what you say to me?
Shit. Half my attention remains on Hannah, who is now laughing at something Cole said. Thankfully, Beau is still there to serve as a buffer, but I'm not happy to see her and Justin looking so chummy. The rest of my attention is on Kendall, who I'm suddenly afraid might make a scene.
You said you didn't want a girlfriend,
she hisses out.
I don't, I'm quick to reply. She's so pissed, she's actually trembling.
Then how do you explain her?
One manicured finger lifts in Hannah's direction. Great. Well, now I'm screwed. I can't insist that it's not a date because Cole is supposed to think it is. But if I say it is a date, Kendall might very well slap me. I lower my voice. She's not my girlfriend. It's a date, yeah. But it's not a serious thing, okay?
No, not okay. I'm really into you, and if you're not into me, then fine, but at least have the decency to...
Why? I'm unable to stop the question that had bitten at my tongue last week when she and I called it quits. Kendall blinks in confusion.
Why what?
Why are you into me? She scowls at me as if she's genuinely insulted that I would ask that. You don't even know me. I say softly, you haven't tried to get to know me.
That's not true,
she objects, her scowl dissolving into a worried frown. I let out a troubled breath. We've never even had a real conversation, Kendall, and we've seen each other dozens of times since the summer. You haven't asked me a single question about my childhood, or my family, or my classes, my teammates, my interests. Hell, you don't even know my favorite color, and that's the kind of thing you find out in getting to know you 101.
Yes, I do,
she insists. I sigh again. Yeah, what is it then? She hesitates for a beat, then says,
blue. Actually, it's black.
Another voice pipes up, and then Hannah appears at my side, and I'm so fucking relieved that I almost give her a bear hug.
Sorry to interrupt, she chirps, but dude, where's our beer? Did you get lost on your way to the kitchen or something?
I got sidetracked. Hannah glances at Kendall.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Sorry, but I need to steal him away for a second. Thirst calls.
The fact that Kendall doesn't object tells me that my point is hit home, and Kendall's expression is a mixture of shame and guilt as Hannah takes my arm and drags me into the hallway. Once we're out of sight, I lower my voice and say, thanks for the save. She was either about to burst into tears or kick me in the balls.
I'm sure the latter would have been well deserved, Hannah replies with a sigh. Let me guess, you broke her heart.
No. Annoyance rises in my throat, but it turns out our amicable parting wasn't as amicable as I thought it was.
Ah, I see.
I narrow my eyes.
So my favorite color is black, huh? What makes you think that? Because every frickin' shirt you own is black.
She shoots a pointed look at my sweater. Maybe that's because black goes with everything. Did you ever think about that? I smirk. Doesn't mean it's my favorite color.
Fine, I'll bite. What's your favorite color then?
I let out a sigh.
It's black.
Huh, I knew it.
Hannah sighs too.
So what, do we have to hide in the hall for the rest of the night now to avoid that girl?
Yep. Unless you want to take off, I say hopefully. I've lost all enthusiasm for this party, especially now that Cole has arrived. Before she can answer, I strengthen my case by adding, Cole took the bait, by the way, so if we take off now, you'll leave him wanting more, which was the plan, right? Hesitation digs a line into her forehead.
Yeah, I guess, but...
But what?
I was enjoying talking to him.
Damned if that doesn't feel like a knife to the heart. But why? I'm not interested in Hannah. Or at least, I hadn't been before. All I'd wanted was her tutoring services, but now...
Now I don't know what I want.
What did you guys talk about? I ask, and hope she doesn't hear the edge in my voice. Hannah shrugs.
Class, football, the showcase. He asked me if I want to have coffee sometime and study for ethics together.
What?
Are you shitting me? I burst out. He's macking on my date right in front of me?
Amusement dances in her eyes. We're not actually together, Garrett.
He doesn't know that. I can't control the anger simmering in my gut. You don't hit on another man's date, period. That's a dick move.
A frown touches her lips. I eye her.
Would you want to go out with a guy who does something that shady?
No,
she admits after a long beat.
But,
she appears to be thinking it over.
There wasn't anything overtly sexual about the invitation. If he was hitting on me, he would have asked me to dinner. Coffee and studying can be construed as a friend thing.
She could be right, but I know how guys think. That son of a bitch was hitting on her in plain sight of the guy she came to the party with. Dick move.
Garrett, her voice becomes wary. You know that kiss didn't mean anything, right?
The question catches me off guard. Yeah, of course I know that.
Because we're just friends, right?
The pointed note in her tone irks, but I know now is not the time to argue about this, whatever this is. So I nod and say, right. Relief floats through her eyes.
Good, okay, well, maybe we should go. I think we've done enough mingling.
Sure, whatever you want.
Let's just say bye to Beau first. You know, I really like that guy. He's not at all what I expected.
She continues to chatter my ear off as we go back to the living room, but I don't hear a single word. I'm too busy dealing with the truth bomb that's just been dropped on my head. Yes, Hannah and I are friends. In fact, she's the only female friend I've ever had. And yes, I want to keep being Hannah's friend. But I also want to sleep with her.
Chapter 18. Hannah. I've been neglecting my friend since I started tutoring Garrett, but now that he's written the midterm, my free time belongs to me again. So the night after Beau Maxwell's party, I meet up with the usual suspects at the campus coffee house, excited to reconnect with everyone. And it's obvious they missed me just as hard.
Han!
Dexter jumps out of his chair and pulls me into a bear hug. And when I say bear hug, I mean it, because Dex is a giant of a guy. I always tease him that he looks exactly like the kid from The Blind Side and should therefore be playing linebacker for the football team. But Dex doesn't have an athletic bone in his body. He's a music major like me, and trust me, the dude can sing. Megan is the next one to greet me, and as usual, a smart-ass remark pops out of her smart-ass mouth.
Were you abducted by aliens? She demands even as she hugs me so tightly I can hardly breathe. I hope the answer to that is yes, and that they anal probed you for 10 hours straight because you deserve it for ignoring me for more than a week. I laugh at the vivid picture she's painted. I know, I'm a total shit, but I had a tutoring gig this week and it's kept me busy.
Oh, we all know who's been keeping you busy.
Stella pipes up from her seat next to Dex. Garrett Graham, Han, really? I stifle a sigh. Who told you? Allie?
Stella rolls her eyes in the most theatrical fashion. I think it's a drama student thing. It's like they can't say a solitary word or make a single gesture without hamming it up.
Of course she did. Unlike you, Allie doesn't keep any secrets from us.
Oh, shut it. I've just been busy with tutoring and rehearsal. And whatever Allie said about Garrett, it's not true. I unzip my winter coat and drape it over the empty chair beside Meg's. I'm helping him pass ethics, that's all. Meg's boyfriend Jeremy wiggles his eyebrows at me over the rim of his coffee mug.
You know this makes you the enemy now, right?
Aw, come on, I protest. That's just mean.
Says the traitor, teases Meg. How dare you fraternize with a meathead? How dare you?
I can see from their playful expressions that it's all in good fun. Or at least it is before Garrett texts me. My phone meows, and I grin the second I pull it out of my purse.
Garrett, you totally should have come to the post-game party tonight. Some chick just dumped a pitcher of beer over Dean's head.
I snort out loud and shoot back a quick text because I have to know more.
Me, OMG.
Why?
Though I'm sure he deserved it.
Him, guess he forgot to tell her they weren't exclusive.
Me,
of course, men.
Him, men. Finish that sentence. Men are awesome.
Thanks, baby. I accept this award on behalf of all of us.
Me.
The award for biggest douchebag? Yeah, you're the perfect spokesman.
Him. Aw, I'm hurt. I'm not a DB.
Sad face. The notion that I might have hurt his feelings causes guilt to trickle through me.
Me.
You're right. You're not. I'm sorry. Sad face.
Him.
Huh. You're the biggest softie on the planet. I wasn't hurt at all.
Me.
Good. Because the apology was for show.
Hannah Wells, please report to the principal's office.
My head jerks up, and I discover all four of my friends grinning at me again.
Dex, who'd voiced the booming command, addresses the group. Oh, look, she's paying attention to us.
Sorry, I say guiltily. I will officially put my phone away for the duration of this get-together.
Hey, you'll never guess who we saw at Farrell's last night,
Meg says, referring to the Italian restaurant in town.
Here we go, her boyfriend sighs. Can't you go 5 seconds without gossiping, babe?
Nope.
She flashes him a jovial smile before turning to me.
Cass and Mary Jane, she announces.
They were on a date.
Did you know they were together?
Stella demands. I know he asked her out, I admit, but I was hoping she'd be smart enough to say no. But I'm not surprised to hear that MJ had done the opposite, and now I'm certainly not looking forward to Monday's rehearsal because if Cass and MJ are a couple now, I'll never win an argument about the duet ever again.
Is that asshat still causing trouble at rehearsals?
Dex asks with a frown.
Yep. It's like he's made it his mission in life to piss me off. But we don't rehearse on the weekend, so I have a reprieve from his bullshit until Monday. How's your piece going?
Dex's expression turns serious.
It's great, actually. John's been really good about listening to my suggestions. He's not crazy possessive over the song, you know? But he also has no problem saying no to my ideas, which I also appreciate.
Well, at least one of us lucked out in the songwriter department. MJ seems perfectly content to let Cass light a match to her song and set it on fire.
Okay, I totally want to hear more, but I need to grab a coffee first. I hop out of my seat and pick up my purse. Does anyone want anything while I'm up there?
After everyone shakes their heads, I head to the counter and stand at the end of the long line. The coffee house is surprisingly packed for a Sunday night, and I'm startled when several people in line nod or say hello to me. I don't know a single one, but I smile awkwardly and nod back, then pretend to text on my phone because I don't want to get drawn into a conversation with a stranger. Maybe I met them at Beau's party? All the introductions Garrett made are a total blur to me, though. The only people whose names and faces I remember are Beau and Justin and a few of the other football players. There's a soft tap on my shoulder, and I turn around to find myself peering up at Justin's vivid blue eyes. Speak of the devil.
Oh, hi,
I squeak out.
Hey.
He slides his hands into the pockets of his football jacket.
How's it going?
I try to sound casual despite my racing heart.
Good,
You?
I'm great, but I am curious about something.
He slants his head in the most adorable way, and when a lock of dark hair falls onto his forehead, I fight the urge to brush it away.
What exactly do you have against parties?
He asks with a grin. I blink. What?
I've run into you at 2 parties now, and both times you left early.
He pauses.
Actually, both times you left with Graham.
Discomfort coils around my spine.
Yeah. Well, he's got a car. I can't pass up a free ride.
The second I say it, I realize how dirty that sounded. But unlike Garrett, who would have pounced on the ride remark in a heartbeat, Justin doesn't even crack a smile. If anything, he looks disturbed. He's quiet for a moment before lowering his voice.
You know what? I'm just gonna come out and ask, are you and Graham friends, or is it something more?
My phone rings the second he voices the question, proving that iPhones have the absolute worst timing. As Justin Timberlake's sexy back blares from the speaker, everyone in line looks over with a grin. Why is sexy back blaring out of my phone? Well, because a very obnoxious hockey player programmed it in as his ringtone and I've been too lazy to change it. Justin's gaze drops to my phone, and since the screen is facing upward, he doesn't miss the name flashing across it in huge block letters. Garrett Graham.
I guess that answers my question,
he says wryly. I quickly press the ignore button. No, Garrett and I aren't together, and just so you don't think I'm a total weirdo, I didn't assign him that ringtone, he did. Justin still looks dubious.
So you're not dating him?
Since the whole point of going to Beau's party with Garrett was to make me seem desirable, I stick to the lie. We're casually seeing each other, but we're not exclusive or anything. We see other people, too.
Oh, okay.
The line shifts closer to the counter and we shuffle right along with it.
Does that mean you're allowed to have dinner with me sometime?
Justin asks with a faint smile. A pang of alarm lights my belly. I can't quite make sense of it, so I decide to ignore it. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Like I said, Garrett and I aren't together. We just hang out sometimes.
God, that sounds sleazy. I know what guys think when they hear that. I might as well have said, I'm just sleeping with him, no strings attached.
However, Justin doesn't seem put off by that. His hands move from his pockets to the belt loops of his cargo pants in a slightly awkward pose.
Look, Hannah, I think you're pretty cool.
He shrugs.
I'd like to get to know you better.
My heart skips a beat. Really?
Totally. And I'm fine if you're dating other people at the same time, but...
His expression becomes intense.
If you and I go out a couple times and we have the kind of connection I think we're going to have, then I'm gonna want to invoke an exclusive clause pretty damn soon.
I can't help but smile. I didn't realize football players were interested in monogamy, I tease.
He chuckles. My teammates sure as hell aren't, but I'm not like them. If I'm into a girl, I want her to be with me and only me.
I don't know what to say to that, but fortunately he goes on before I can respond.
But it's way too early to talk about stuff like that, huh? How about we start with dinner?
Oh my God. He's asking me out. Not for coffee, not to study, but an actual date. I should be doing internal cartwheels or something, and yet I can't shake the apprehension churning in my stomach, the muffled little alarm bells that are telling me to say no. But that's crazy. I've been obsessed.